A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. When will the new moon be over, you ask, that we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath, that we may display the wheat? We will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the lowly for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the refuse of the wheat we will sell. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. The word of the Lord.
Upon the heavens and the earth below.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, who lifts up the poor.
He raises up the lowly from the dust, from the dunghill he lifts up the poor, to seat them with priests, the princes of his own people.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, who lifts up the poor.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth, I am not lying. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Though our Lord Jesus Christ was rich, he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich.
Hallelujah.
Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can have two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Ever since I was a kid, I've liked stories of famous con men. George Parker was one of the most audacious con men in American history. He made his living selling New York City's public landmarks to tourists. His favorite object of sale was the Brooklyn Bridge. And I find this hard to believe, but he sold it twice a week for years. He convinced his marks they could make a fortune controlling access to the roadway. More than once, police had to remove buyers from the bridge as they tried to now collect the tolls on their bridge. "No, officer, I own it now." Victor Lustig was renowned as the man who sold the Eiffel Tower. Don't know how many times he did that. His first con was how to show people a device that could print $100 bills. If you saw the movie Catch Me If You Can, it was about Frank Abagnale, who was a con artist. He pretended to be a doctor, a lawyer, an airline pilot, and a teacher over many years. Yeah, brain surgery, no sweat. It's just like riding a bike. How many of you have got the emails from Nigeria? "I've got $100 million, and I, I need somebody to help me get it into the United States. Send me $5,000 and you'll get $1 million. A lot of people do that. The latest and greatest king of the con was Bernard Madoff, who just recently, last couple of years, swindled prominent rich people and religious organizations of anywhere from $10 to $65 billion. Lots of money. Many rich people learned overnight that they were broke. The main character in our gospel parable today is one of these guys. He was caught squandering his master's property. Squandering his master's property, just like the younger son did. The Bible uses the same word with his father's inheritance in the gospel for last week. Who thinks this guy is an unlikely role model in a parable of Jesus? If I complimented you for being just like Bernie Madoff, how would you take it? Many people think, because of some of these difficulties, that this is one of the hardest parables of Jesus to understand. What's Jesus saying? Well, it may be that way, but I don't think it has to be. There are some possibilities that make it much easier to understand. Jewish law forbade the charging of interest, although it was a common practice. It was usually a way for the rich to gouge the poor. Perhaps Jesus was referring to a master that was defrauding his subjects by cruel interest. It was also common practice that the salary of stewards was comprised of what additional money they would add to what was originally owned and thus pocket the rest as their profit. So, and this is a real possibility, so it may well be that the unjust steward was merely charging the master subject what was originally owed in the first place. But we really don't know if that's the case or was not the case. And it really doesn't matter because that's not the point of the parable. The form of the parable, convention says, teaches one point. What do we know? We know that the master's steward squandered the master's money. We know that the steward knew that he was going to be held accountable for his actions. It is what the steward did in precisely the circumstances that is the point of the parable. What did he do? Jesus says the master commends him for acting prudently. He acted in a way that would secure his future. There are other points or proverbs that Jesus offers. Some debate how related they are to the main point. People who have no faith, Jesus says, are often more creative and clever than those who have faith. How you handle small matters will determine how you handle bigger ones. You can't serve two masters. Your heart can't be divided. You can't love both God and the ways of this world. If you love money more than God, you're a slave to money. But the main point, the way that the unjust steward acted in a way that would secure his future. Jesus was not condoning, of course, the squandering of the master's fortune. He was commending the result of the actions the steward took. The steward knew he was in a hole, determined what he needed to do to get out of the hole, and did it. That's the point. So in the whole context of Jesus' teaching, where are you in this story? What does this mean for you? Jesus tells the story in Matthew 18 of the man who was forgiven 10,000 talents and won't forgive somebody who owes him 100 denarii. This is, again, is one of those wild exaggerations of Jesus. It's funny. By a mild calculation, the first person was forgiven $600 million, a ridiculous amount of money, and won't forgive somebody who owes him less than $10,000. So Jesus throws him back into jail because of the way he treated the one who owed him much less. And if we know anything about that story, we know the point of that story is that each one of us, as a sinner, is the one who owes the $600 million, a debt of our sin to God, and much more. The point is, it's way beyond your ability to pay. Do you know that that's the hole you're in? How do we get out? If that's us, what do we do about it? Well, the second reading tells us. It tells us first that, this is important, it tells us that God desires all men and women to be saved. Look it up. It says it right there in black and white. This, we know, is the desire of God. When Jesus is asked if many will be saved, what does he say? Remember? He said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many take it, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few take it. Jesus told us a few weeks ago to enter through the narrow gate, which is the gate of Jesus himself. The Bible seems to be making a distinction between what God desires, that all be saved, and what men and women choose. It's the great gift and the great responsibility of free will. We choose. Then the second reading tells us that Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and every human being. What's a mediator? A mediator settles differences. A mediator brings parties together. The IRS says that you owe $600 million on your taxes. Guess what? You need a mediator. Now, between God and us, the Bible says there's one mediator, and that is Jesus. Have you asked him to be your mediator? Have you asked him to settle your debt from the wrong that you have done? In referring to the sins of the rich against the poor in the first reading, the Lord says, and these are harrowing words. I winced when I heard them. The Lord says, about the rich, never will I forget a thing they have done. Wow. Want that to be the Lord's disposition to the wrong that you have done? Never will I forget. But we also know that the Bible says that the Lord forgives and forgets, removes our sins far away from us as the east is from the west. Which one is it? I will not forget, or as far as the east is from the west. Well, that depends on our choice. Do we really repent? Resolve to do what's right? Do we ask for what only Jesus can give us? As I say, Jesus got what we deserve so that we can receive what Jesus deserves. Have you welcomed Jesus as the Lord of your life, whose word is law and who commands you obey? Remember, it's not those who just say, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom. Remember that? Jesus says it's not just who say it, but those who do the will of my Father. So if you haven't made this transaction, if Jesus is not your mediator, the sinless one, pleading for you before God, you're in worse shape than the unjust steward. We know this life is short. We know that we will have to give an account and pay a debt beyond our ability. We're in the same hole as the steward. We do something like what he did. We call for God's help. Jesus himself. We call on God's help as if we were falling from 10,000 feet without a parachute. That's our circumstances. And that's the mediator we receive in this Eucharist. It's the mediator whose word we hear now. Remember, Jesus says those who have no faith are more creative and clever than those who have sometimes. So use all your wits to do this as thoroughly as you can. How you handle small matters will determine how you handle bigger ones. Your heart can't be divided. You can't love first God, and also love this world.